Now, Jess Kelly is with me, and we're going to talk about Now TV. We're also going to talk about online passport applications. But first, I want Jess's comment on this notion that you limit the sales of smartphones to those above the age of 14.
It's a very interesting one, and I don't think there's anybody has, you know, the definite final solution for this, because every child is different, as we know. But a solution that I came up with a while ago, I was talking to some parents and it popped into my brain, why don't you just buy the children a dumb phone?
Not a smartphone.
So this is a phone that, you know, I actually am outside writing up a piece now for newstalk.com about phones that you can buy, a Samsung Keystone Touch 2, it's called. And it has buttons. It looks a bit like a Nokia 3310, an old school phone that has buttons. It makes calls and you can send texts and that's it. So if you don't want your phone, your child on a smartphone, but still wants to be able to get in touch with them to check if they got the bus home or whatever it may be, buy them a dumb phone for 30 quid and then allow them to have access to the iPad or the computer or whatever you have at home.
A simple solution. Now, would they be slagged off by their peers because you only have a dumb phone?
Maybe, but look, if you're going to get slagged off by your mates, you're going to get slagged off by your mates no matter what you do. I think this is a solution because schools, I know, are finding it hard to police phone usage in schools. You know, a lot of the schools say that you're not allowed to have a mobile phone on the premises, but parents are still buying them anyway. So how do you stop the kids?
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of security, you know, if someone's going to be picked up by a parent and then there's a problem, or if someone gets sick in school, you know, people do like to be in touch. But texting and being able to make an old-fashioned phone call.
Dumb phone is the
answer. That's all you need, actually.
And, and what I'm afraid of, you know, last week on this show, we heard about the good side of technology. We heard about the Lacaila Secondary School in Tyrrellstown that are using technology in such a positive way.
Yeah.
So I don't want technology to be sort of scraped to the side as, you know, a very bad influence. If we find a solution that works for your child, be that the dumb phone, be it the iKids router that limits their usage so you can see what they're up to, or just having a good, hard conversation with them.
Now, we also talked before about the programs that you can insert on phones to kind of net nanny them, and we were talking about nannying this morning, but you can, to a certain extent, protect your kids from certain stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So one product we mentioned a few months ago now, I think it was the iKids box, which is a box that plugs into your router. And instead of getting your internet access from your main router, it kind of goes through this iKids box, which places a filter on certain content. Also, every device is logged onto this individually. So say if you have three kids at home and you want child number one to have access to whatever they want.
Yep.
Child number two, only access to YouTube and email. And child number three, access to nothing other than YouTube. You can actually put filters on to ensure that what they're watching is approved and they're not accessing certain sites.
And then YouTube themselves have a filter, haven't they?
They do, yeah. So again, if you've got young children in particular who use YouTube, you can download YouTube Kids, which is a great application. So it filters out any adult content. Also, if something is flagged as having, you know, unsuitable dubbing over it or whatever it may be, you can report it and it's pulled down instantly. So again, I can actually tweet out these guides to these things if you want to have a look up on newstalk.com.
Okay, very good. Now, before we talk about Now TV, which you have fallen in love with.
Yes, I have.
Let's talk about the passport application, because with Brexit and all of that, there is a bit of a logjam in the passport office. Like the express service, which you get in your local post office, it can be a bit slower than, you know, it was.
Yes.
Because of the huge number of extra applications. So tell me about online application. Is it for the first time or renewal?
So this is for renewal. So you must have had an Irish passport that's expired within the last 5 years or due to expire. You can also apply for a new passport if your passport has been lost or stolen. But you can't make a first time application on this website.
Have you gone through the process? How easy is it?
I have. And you know what? I was actually amazed at how easy it was. I remember my passport, I got mine in 2010. And I remember filling in that form. Then I remember going to the Garda station, getting the backs of my photograph signed, and the whole rigmarole that you have to go through. I sat down and went through this process here in the office the other day and it took me 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
10 minutes. So what you do is that there are certain criteria. First off, you have to be over 18 and your passport number has to start with either L or P. You can check that on your passport. Once you have that, you go through the stages and you can decide whether you want a new passport, which is 80 quid, a passport card, which is 35 quid, or a passport book and card, which is 105 euro. So it's actually better value to get the two if you want the two. Once you've done that, what you do is you just select that you're meeting the certain criteria and that's fine. Then it'll tell you that you need certain bits and pieces. So if you are renewing your passport, you'll need your current passport, you will need a valid email address, and you'll need a credit card or debit card, as well as a photograph. Now, the photographs is usually what takes the longest, people kind of finding the time to go to the pharmacy to get the good photographs taken or whatever it may be. They give you a very comprehensive and easy follow to easy to follow guide on how to take your own photograph at home.
The things that will fulfill the criteria.
Exactly. So there's certain things like not being too close to the camera, not being too far away, not having your head tilted. What I love about this, though, and I uploaded a few photographs to see if it would catch out what ones were right and which ones weren't right, and it did. So I uploaded a photograph that we got professionally taken here, and my head is slightly to the side, and it said, no, your head is slightly to the side, it's not going to work. I uploaded a selfie and they said, no, I think it was because I had seven chins, but it was actually because the angle wasn't right. So you have to get somebody else to take the photograph for you, stand in front of a blank wall
and
look directly at the camera.
You can have a go. If it doesn't work the first time, take another one.
It'll tell you what's wrong when you upload it.
Okay.
And it is very helpful.
And then what? Do you just click? I mean, you say you need your passport. Do you have to send that into them physically then, or does it just lapse?
It asks you to hold on to remain on hold of your passport because you may need it. Now, I actually didn't follow through to the steps. I didn't order a new passport because I don't need a new passport. So I don't know. They may ask you to post in the one on the final step, but they do say hang on to the passport. But it's worth noting that if your passport is lost or stolen, you can still fulfill all of these steps.
And how long then do they promise it'll take to send one out to you?
So people on Twitter, I wrote about this yesterday, and people on Twitter were telling me that they ordered and received their passport within 7 days.
So that's very good.
Very good. And it's very reliable. Yeah. And it means then that you're not having to fill in big forms in pen and capital letters, getting people to sign your forms, anything like that.
Bobby Kerr won't be happy. Another death blow for the post office.
I'm sorry, Bobby. I know you're in the office right now and I do apologise, but it's super convenient.
All right, let's move on to TV Now. What is it?
So TV Now is an alternative to people who don't want to sign up for, you know, a year-long or two-year-long subscription service or a TV package with, you know, Sky or Virgin Media or whoever it may be. It's kind of a cross between traditional TV packages and Netflix. So the idea is that it's a contract-free option that gives you content to stream as you go. So a box came into the office, so I hooked it up to my TV. It connects into your TV via HDMI. Mm-hmm. Once you have that in, you can buy a pass. So say, for example, if you love your movies, you can buy a Sky Movies pass, and that will give you access to so many movies, a better selection of movies than Netflix had, in my opinion. It's more recent movies.
So this is the Sky Cinema.
Sky Cinema, yes, indeed. Then you have your entertainment pass, which is incredible. So you've got the likes of Sopranos box set, West Wing box set, all of these amazing box sets that I'd always love to buy, but I'm not going to spend a huge amount of money on. And
so
not
if,
available on
if for example, you were laid up with a broken leg and you couldn't go to work and you know you're going to binge on telly and you're going to be up out for 3 weeks, well, this is a perfect thing because you buy it for 3 weeks and then forget about it.
Exactly. It's very, very handy. So it's almost pay as you go. So the way it works, the entertainment pass is €15 a month. Then you can get the Sky, the movies package, basically, which again is €15 a month.
Can you buy sports? I mean, a lot of people, they don't want to see those dull, boring matches in November, but they do want to see the last month of the Premiership or whatever.
Yes. Now, Sky Sports is where it gets a little bit pricey, unfortunately. So you have the option of buying Sky Sports, which gives you access to the 7 channels and you can watch live matches and all of the rest. But it's either a tenner for a day pass, 15 quid for a week pass, or 50 for a month pass. Now, I know people, because I live with one, who is going to pay the 50 quid when the Lions tour is on, for example.
Okay.
Because the matches are on early in the morning. You can't go to a pub to watch them. You're not going to go to a mate's house at 8 o'clock in the morning. So it does make sense for that month. It's easier and more convenient than signing up for, you know, a 2-year contract or whatever it may be. So it kind of, it suits us in that regard. I think it is a little bit pricey. There's no denying it's a little bit pricey. People have been kind of saying that online as well. But I do think, as time goes by, hopefully they'll readjust their pricing, their pricing schedule. As I said, I don't think
they don't want to make it too attractive, you see, to just opt for the key months.
Exactly.
So they're pricing it at a level that they think will maintain their grip on the November football watcher.
Exactly. And I think it's designed for people like me. I've said very often on this show, I don't have a TV package. What I have is a Chromecast plug into the back of my TV and I stream from Netflix or whatever. This is what I'm the kind of person that this is aimed at.
All right. That's called Now TV. And you buy the box, I presume.
You can buy the box, which is 25 quid, or you can actually just do it via the app. So we've got the full information up on newstalk.com/Pat Kenny if you want to have a quick read through.
Jess Kelly, thank you very much.